This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Last November, Javier Milei was elected president of Argentina. Back then, we spoke to Irish Times contributor Tom Hennigan about why Argentinians voted for this highly unorthodox politician who promised shock therapy to fix the country's chronic economic and social problems. So, how is Milei getting on with that? Tom is back to update us.
A lot of his mad carry-on and mad policies during the campaign, he quite astutely dropped them the minute he won. But it's amazing, considering just how brutal his austerity program is, that it has not been worse and that there have not been more protests on the street.
This is In the News from the Irish Times. I'm Saoirse Pollock. Today, Javier Milei's struggle to make his radical vision for Argentina a reality. Tom, when we last spoke on the podcast, Argentina's economy was on the brink of disaster. Now, the country's recently elected president, Javier Milei, promised to reform the economy. He's now in power more than 3 months. He actually hit the 100-day mark on March 19th. So how is he doing? What measures has he taken, and have they had any real impact?
They have had a huge impact on the lives of ordinary Argentines. As you said, the economy was on the verge of crisis when he was sworn in December. It was the reason he was, as an outsider, able to win the presidential election, beating off the two traditional left and right-wing blocs in the country. And true to his style, he has tried to move very quickly. So he has almost immediately implemented a 50% devaluation in the Argentine peso as an attempt to sort out the economy, to try and end what is just an increasingly chaotic situation, to bring the official exchange rate closer to the black market rate. And what that has done is it created an immediate spike in inflation. This also came as he started unwinding state subsidies on things like fuel and transport, which were, nearly every economist agreed, were no longer sustainable. But the impact of that has been a huge increase in prices. So there's a kind of an irony in that in his effort to combat inflation, he provoked a large spike in it over December. It passed out. Venezuela became the highest inflation rate in the world. This was pushing up prices as the subsidies were being unwound. And what we've seen is a very rapid drop, some calculations as much as 20% in the real value of wages and pensions in the country.
We used to pay 80 cents for a kilo of rice. Now it's triple, more than $3.
But others see the latest inflation figure as a glass half full. It's a textbook belt-tightening measure that's hitting the middle-income and poor families the hardest.
So it has been a pretty brutal start for the Argentine population, a very tough introduction to Milei. Did promise all through the campaign, which was that he would implement a very austerity program to try and get the country's finances back on tracks. And that's where he's at the moment.
Tom, when we spoke last December, you said the following: if he wants to get his more radical proposals passed, he needs support in Congress. He doesn't have it. His party is a fringe group in there. How has that gone? Has he found the political allies he needed to get reforms done?
He thought he had. So after winning the election, he came to an arrangement with the main centre-right bloc that he attacked viciously during the election campaign and knocked it into third place. But realizing that he was going to need support in Congress, he came to an arrangement with them. His banner policy was to dollarize the economy, abandon the peso and adopt the US dollar. He has junked that by appointing a traditional center-right economist as his finance minister. And in turn, he thought that would get him the necessary support in Congress Congress, and it hasn't. And main example of that is what has been called the Omnibus Bill, which was this huge bill with over 650 articles in it that was setting out to completely redesign Argentina's economy. And while a lot of economists, a lot of other center-right politicians said that this bill was necessary, it did get whittled down in Congress to around 300 articles. But even then, it was passed on a first reading. But then when it went to a line-by-line reading, more and more of the articles were getting taken out. And that was a result of he was trying to do, I think, too much too soon. And he had packed so many things into the bill that it was inevitable that right across the political spectrum, there would be something for everyone not to like. And everyone wanted to get their bit out of the bill before it would be passed, even his supposed allies on the right and the centre right. And as he saw the bill being whittled down to next to nothing, he decided to pull it. So he's in a situation now where he cannot fully rely on Congress to pass his programme. That's not surprising. He has his Liberty Advances party is a marginal party in the Congress, so he's always going to have to reach out to others. And we saw just how much of a block on his ambitions the Congress is, because as well as this omnibus bill, he passed an emergency decree saying that basically Argentina was in an economic emergency, and that gave him the right to pass decrees without having to go first to Congress. And this was another huge decree with a lot of articles in it as well. And that immediately came into effect. But at some stage, Congress, both houses of Congress, would have to vote to authorize it. But the idea that I think he was hoping for was that his allies, these new allies in Congress, would hold back a vote as long as possible so that this austerity medicine could begin to have effect and the population could see it's very painful, but we're going in the right direction. But because he has alienated even members of the kind of the political class that would be inclined to support him, particularly lashing out against governors when his omnibus bill was knocked down, he has seen his own vice president, against his wishes, bring the emergency decree for a vote in the Senate, and the Senate voted against it. So his two big measures, one, the omnibus bill, that is been withdrawn and there's no path forward on how he's going to pass those measures. And the other, the emergency decree, one of the two houses voted against it. And if the second house votes against it and he's no control over when that will be brought to a vote, that means basically all his main measures will have been rejected, as you say, a little after 100 days in office.
People voted for him because of dissatisfaction with the Argentinian status quo and with how badly the previous government had run things. But just over 3 months later, how is the mood and how is his popularity among the people of Argentina?
Well, so far, the polls show that his support has relatively held up. And that's, I think, speaks more to the rejection of the way the country was going for the last 10, 20 years, rather than huge optimism for Milei. His support has declined somewhat, but that's, I think, natural after the euphoria of an election win for a new leader to see that happen. But it's amazing, considering just how brutal his austerity program is, that it has not been worse and that there have not been protests, more protests on the street. Argentina is a very organized and mobilized society, whether it's unions, other NGO groups, pensioner organizations, and there have been attempts to get people out in the street, but that has not yet really come together in a way that Milei would have to be worried about immediately. But the question is, can he start to show to the population that this very bitter medicine is going to produce results before people decide these results might come in the future, but me and my family, we're going to be ruined before then, and they're going to start taking to the streets. So there's a real issue there. Like, we're seeing poverty levels, which when he came to power were already around 45% of the population, which is disastrous for what was once South America's great middle class society. They're now pushing up towards 60% of the population. So it's a massive jump in poverty in a short amount of time. And poverty amongst under 18s is already around 70%. So even those who are backing the economic course that he is trying to take are warning that he has a very short amount of time to get this done before the population say, we just can't take this. And Argentina does have a history of street protests knocking presidents out of power. And he and his the people around him will be very aware of that.
Milei promised to reform the government by axing lots of government departments. Has he pushed ahead with that, Tom?
He has. He cut the number of ministries in half from 18 to 9. But I think, as many listeners will know, ministries get reorganized by new governments a lot of the time. It doesn't necessarily mean that the apparatus of state changes all that much, rather than letter headings and whatnot. But he has also tried to cut the number of public state employees in Argentina by implementing a hiring freeze, not renewing those who were on contracts. And under the Peronists, who have governed Argentina for most of the last 20 years with a four-year interval in 2015-19, there was a huge ramp up in the size of the state in Argentina. And a lot of it really didn't bring any productivity gains to the society, but it did mean that an awful lot of people ended up directly or indirectly on the state payroll. He has already moved to start trying to roll that back. He has already tried to put a moratorium on all tenders for public works contracts, which again is an important driver for the construction industry and high driver of employment. So that's another attempt to cut back the state. But a lot of the measures that he was really hoping to slim down what is a bloated public sector are contained in this emergency decree and the omnibus bill, which one is in a frozen state and the other is on the verge of being knocked down by the Congress. So things like privatizing a huge number of state companies like airlines and the state oil company. So a lot of what he's trying to do to make Argentina have a smaller state still remains to be done, and it's not necessarily in his hands anymore to do it.
Coming up, civil liberties under threat in Milei's Argentina.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Some Argentinian voters were worried that civil liberties would be rolled back under Milei and that progressive causes like abortion rights or gay marriage could be undermined. Even though he did claim to support them, people were worried. Have these worries been justified?
I think there are certain signs that there, despite his claim to be a libertarian, that there are concerns about particularly rolling back the abortion liberalization, which Argentina was a leader in the region. It's only a few years that it's been on the statute books, and Milei has talked about rolling that back. On other areas that people have seized on to point out what the direction of travel is inside this administration, the omnibus bill tried to gut environmental protection, and Milei is a very loud climate change denier. But one of the most controversial is the attempt to criminalize street protest in Argentina. So he has proposed measures that employees can be dismissed by their companies if they take part in street protests that block public roads, public highways, which is a very well-established tradition in Argentina. So that idea of trying to criminalize protest has been very controversial. And one of the other areas that people have been worried about, I think, in how he might try to reshape his government to deal with setbacks is Argentina is, as well as a social crisis, is facing a public security crisis. Crime in certain parts of the country is exploding. There is a growing drug trafficking problem in Argentina that has led to violence. And a lot of this is centered on the third biggest city, Rosario. And that has seen a spike in recent weeks. And one of the first things that his public security minister did was send in a national police force. And there were just, it's not really anything that that this force have done since they've gone there, but there was a question of the aesthetics of it, how you had police and politicians appearing in their media response to this that recalled Bukele's posture in El Salvador and tackling the gangs there. And the idea that Milei or his administration could use concerns over public security to ride roughshod over not just civil liberties, but also the Congress by trying to claim that an emergency required emergency responses. So there are worries. It's still early days, but there are worries and signs that his libertarian instincts are shared within the administration by good old-fashioned hard right ones.
Tom, last month, police fired rubber bullets and water cannons at hundreds of protesters who gathered outside the Argentinian Congress building in Buenos Aires as lawmakers debated Milei's big economic, social and political reform package. Just this week, there was a new wave of protests against Milei's cuts to food banks. So clearly, opposition against his policies remains steadfast.
There was always going to be opposition to Milei. The Peronist movement has deep roots and structures throughout Argentine society, particularly amongst poorer people in the greater Buenos Aires area, where almost a third of the population lives. And they have been mobilized in a way that we haven't seen for years by the Peronists losing power, and someone who is so antagonistic towards their movement becoming president. So I think we were always going to see the unions back out on the street. We were always going to see neighborhood organizations linked to Peronist bosses in Greater Buenos Aires coming out and protesting. That is not unexpected. That's not to say that these people are protesting just because Milei is not a Peronist. They are protesting, as I say, because they're seeing the value of their incomes plummet in a very short amount of time. But I think more crucial will be if those protests jump beyond that part of segment of Argentine society that is traditionally organized and allied to the Peronists and starts taking in more apolitical people, and they start coming out. If you're lower middle class pensioners, for example, or middle class workers, if those people start coming out and protest against him and against this austerity plan, then he's in real trouble. So the protests are not insignificant, but I think what we really need to wait and see is whether they grow beyond those groups that we might have expected to protest anyway.
I have to ask about Milei's unusual political persona, which he honed on lots of appearances on Argentinian TV chat shows over the years. He can be vulgar, he can be funny, he can express unusual esoteric beliefs, like his talking to the spirit of his deceased dog, Conan. There was some expectation he might tone that down when in office. Has he done that?
To a certain extent he has, but the things that came with it, he has not. So he is still very aggressive on social media, hammering his opponents, even to his own political detriment, attacking his new ally and alienating them even further. So he still is an aggressive sort of character. He still portrays this idea that he is one man alone against what he calls an entire political caste that he blames not just for, you know, Argentina's disaster, but what the malaise that is gripping the wider West. His first trip after he was sworn in was to Davos, and he gave a rather strange 20-minute speech there.
Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others, and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom, four different versions of what we call collectivism. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause.
Saying basically that all the governments in the West were, whether they were fascist or Marxist or whatever, were all essentially the same thing, and that he was the only one that was really trying to make a change that would save the West. There is a messianic quality to him sometimes. You know, he's compares himself to an old prophet who mightn't in his own lifetime be listened to or respected, but he is telling the truth. So there is that element to him. But then the other side is, in recent weeks, it hasn't yet paid dividends for him. But a lot of his mad carry-on and mad policies during the campaign, he quite astutely dropped them the minute he won. So dollarization, like, it was all about dollarization in the campaign. It was the thing he most talked about. The day after he won, he was like, well, we're not going to do that. And people accepted it. But he also reached out to the centre-right, main centre-right coalition, and did a deal with them. And I think that shows that there is a practical mind working there. It's just whether his more histrionic self can be kept in check and stop him from undermining that practical side.
What do his next 3 months in office look like from where you're sitting?
I think it's still too early to say. He has, within the context of the possible, tried a very radical slimming down of the Argentine economy, of the Argentine state, and redesign of the economy along libertarian principles. But I think the next 3 months or even 6 months are going to be very revealing in terms of how he handles what is clearly growing opposition amongst the governors, who are very powerful in Argentina and very influential in the Congress, opposition within the Congress itself. There is opposition in the judiciary manifesting itself as well, saying that some of these measures he's trying to pass and decrees are unconstitutional. So it's how he responds to those efforts to undermine his libertarian inspired redesign of the economy in the country that will be very telling. And again, I go back to the attempts to criminalize certain established forms of protest in Argentina. That's, I think, quite telling. The way that the administration, I wouldn't say have seized on the security crisis in Rosario, but the way they have presented their response could indicate that if he faces growing opposition, and not just from his natural opponents, but even from within his more natural allies, that he could go down a line of a more hard right attempt to impose. He has said things like, I'm going to govern either with or without Congress, so you might as well get on board with me, and then presented measures that, you know, they have no interest in signing up to. So it's still a question of what's going to happen there. But then in Argentina, but it has happened in the past, many decades ago in Brazil, where you get these outsiders and they come in and they give it a go, and wouldn't surprise me just threw his hands up and said, well, I'm right, you're all wrong, and I'm off. I don't know. That's just, it's still very open what's going to happen. It's very early and it's very open, but it's going to be interesting watching how it plays out.
Tom Ennigan, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That's all for today. For more reporting from Tom Ennigan in Argentina and across South America, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Saoirse Pollock. Today's episode was produced by Declan Conlon. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.